Hello, Whole Woman Podcast listeners. You're back with Kim and Rachel, and today we are going to talk about another one of our many, many favorite topics. But I love the idea of how we're going to have this conversation where it's really going to kind of pull from Kim's experience and knowledge. So you're in for a huge treat. Hi, Kimmy.
Hi, Rachel. How are you today?
I'm in the AC, so I'm fine.
Me too. It's hot here as well and humid as heck. For those of you listening, it's officially summertime everywhere, I think.
I
Everywhere.
know. I feel bad for complaining, and but I just can't help it. You know, especially when the humidity here in South Carolina is higher than the actual temperature. It's such a weird experience outside. It's like you have to go like this with the air, like you're doing the breaststroke.
Yes, I'm with you. I'm with you. When I wake up and I see the water running off the windows, I know it's going to be one of those days.
So here we are under all the fans with our water, spending the afternoon together.
It's good stuff.
It is good stuff. All right, my lady, I want to just kind of dive in because I have really thought long and hard about the questions I want to ask you, and I feel like we are going to have a beautiful conversation today. So shake it off, take a deep breath.
Ready. I'm ready.
Okay. So in our introduction, we introduced who we are, how we've spent our careers in fitness, wellness, and how we're spending our careers now. If you don't mind, let's give our listeners just a quick, hi, I'm losing my words, a refresher, if you will, about, the past couple of decades of what you did and what you're doing now.
I gained a lot of weight after having kiddos, right? So in my early years, I was just fit by default. I was a swimmer, very active. I worked on my feet. I worked in restaurants like from the time I was a teenager. So I was just moving, 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 and my weight didn't ever really impact me until I got pregnant with my first son. But I was very young, I'm 21 and had a baby and headed right back to work. And so the weight just melted off again. Not so much with my second kiddo. And my career had allowed me to slow down a little bit and the weight just piled on. And I ended up feeling like I just hated myself by the time I was approaching that terrible 40 number. And so I started in a group fitness program. And it included like a checklist. It was a challenge. It was a 9-week challenge. And they had this little book. And the only way that you could be a winner is if you filled out your nutrition checklist every day. And it didn't make you write everything down, but it said like protein. And then it'd have eight little boxes. And so you'd mark how many times you had protein in a day and fat and vegetables and all the things. And it just was really very effective for me. And I caught the bug and I had huge results because for the first time in my adult life, I showed myself that I can take control over my physical health. I had never thought about it before.
So
But
that was the
so,
first time that you had had a significant weight gain was after baby number two. Okay. So you were pretty, it was never an up and down for you. It was just like, okay, all right,
No,
continue.
that didn't happen until I turned 30. And then it was like, and I
Oh,
did what
okay.
everybody did, like something special's coming up. I just starved myself. I would like fit into things, or back in the days when I still believe Spanx were like God's gift, and now I burned all of them that I have. So I did what I think every woman does. We try all the things, right? And eventually reached a point with hormones and perimenopause and all the things as I was getting closer and closer to 40, I lost control. But I was never exercising. No one, I didn't ever exercise. So I started this program. It included exercise. I was kickboxing, I was lifting weights, and I was eating. I was eating. And that was the kicker for me. Like when I talked to people, they said, "Oh my gosh, what was your diet like?" I'm like, "I didn't diet, I ate." And I had spent so much of my life like starving myself that I think my body was like, "Hallelujah, here's some food. We're gonna give up some of this mush." And I just caught the bug. I loved how I felt. And I talked to my husband, and we had worked together for a long, long time, and the boys were older, and it was time for a change. And so I opened a gym, and my program was very much the same as that. You know, we exercised, we talked about nutrition, but I caught the bug so hard that I went out and I got my nutrition, my PN1 and my PN2 from Precision Nutrition, and then I went through the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, and I got another certification. And I just really tried to tie together how eating enough and eating well brings health more than really, in my opinion, anything else that we do.
Absolutely. Okay, so you are now, how old are you at this point?
I am 57
No,
and
not today, at the point of the story that you just told.
I opened the gym when I was like 45.
45. Okay. And the gym was open for
9 years. 9 years.
9 years. Okay. So for 9 years, you helped, trained, advised other women about what to eat.
And I didn't prescribe though. That's the thing. We just put things out there and just tried to show them because so many women starve themselves, right?
Right. But so did you do assessments with new members? And
No, we talked about
oh.
general good eating. I did not ever create a plan or prescribe for anyone. We just talk about good eating as a whole.
Okay. So, but did you ever have a moment with a client where you were just kind of regurgitating like the food lies that you believed at the time?
Oh, for sure.
Okay. That's where I was trying to go with you. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Yes, for sure.
Okay. So give our listeners an example of what that sounds like. I'm coming to you. Hi, Kim. I just had my eighth baby and I really want to feel my best. What do I need to be doing? What do I need to be eating? Help me.
What I said then? I said, I can fix you. I've got a plan. I'm going to teach you how to eat. And I believed everyone. I believed everyone on the planet who faithfully ate a protein, a fat, and a carb every meal 5 times a day could lose weight, could change their bodies. And I think that works for some people, but I believed it hook, line, and sinker for everyone. And I would have proved it to you because I had people go off meds and I had people who could now suddenly have babies. I had all these things, right?
Right,
Right. So
absolutely.
it had to be true.
Right. But what you know now, the reason why it was true is because people were just starting to take better care of themselves, period.
They were doing all the things. I
Right.
mean, like they were finally moving. Some of the people had been sedentary their whole lives and now they're moving. That had a piece of the pie. You know, some people, our bodies will protect us. Some particularly women, they think, oh, my class reunion's in 3 months. I'm gonna only eat cucumbers and lettuce greens for every meal for the next 3 weeks, and I'm gonna lose 22 pounds. I mean, just all the fallacies. And so for them to come to me and I'm finally giving them permission to eat and I'm working them out. Like in a crazy way, it was group fitness and it's push, push, push. They were hungry when they left. So those things combined and there were results. But what I've learned today is that that's maybe not sustainable for our whole lives, right?
Right. But before you jump ahead, my follow-up question to that is, you talked to me about this because you and I had a similar experience. I want you to share that experience. So when were you talking to somebody or giving them this advice, and it just dawned on you that you were just telling them a lie that you believed, of course, but you realize now that it was a lie. Talk to us about that experience.
I was in the middle of a program and it a lot of success, right? I mean like physical, visible success. And somebody kept talking to me about how hungry they were, how hungry they were. And one of my
Was
fellow
it me?
coaches, no, one of my fellow coaches is standing right there. And I said, well, just eat more vegetables, right? And she said, you can't eat more vegetables. You can't. The manual says you get 3 ounces of broccoli. And that's the moment when I thought, what the heck am I doing? What am I doing? I mean, what am I doing? When has anyone ever eaten fruit or vegetable or a lean meat or even anything in such excess in one meal that it made a difference?
Oh my God, the things that in
Broccoli.
our
Broccoli.
little
Yours was
pinky.
banana, right? Yours was banana. Yeah, mine was broccoli. Broccoli.
I know, broccoli's so bad.
Eat the whole head.
Okay. That triggers a question for me, but I want to stick with this one because it's kind of, why is it so hard for women, especially women, because we've been drilled that calories in equals calories out, and that, equates to the weight loss.
Right.
Why is that so hard to let go? Why can't women just get it in their brain that it's not that cut and dry?
Well, first off, the people that we trust most in the world are the ones telling us that, right? I mean, our moms, our dads, our doctors, even in school, they're like, eat this, exercise this. Well, in theory, it does work. Right, but our bodies are perfect for the most part. When we're born, they're perfect. They know what to do, right? We get crabby and we cry and somebody feeds us and we stop eating when we're satisfied, and then we poop whenever we want to. We don't worry about who's in the next stall or what time of day it is or whatever. I mean, like, but then somebody puts us on a schedule, and then somebody tells us what's healthy, and then somebody serves us a meal that we don't choose, like when we go to school. I think that's why we can't ever give it up, because smart people tell us it's so.
Okay. I do get that, but you just used a perfect example of we're smart. We women are brilliant, but when it comes to the lies that we've been taught about the food industry, about the diet industry, about what size we have to be, about what size, I mean, our measurements, that I can't even utter it because it makes me so angry. But those are what every single woman are striving for, even if their complete makeup of their body will never allow that. But we force it, we force it, we force this ideal onto ourselves, onto our friends, onto our family members, our daughters.
Our sons. Even our sons. Like, I watched my grandsons, right? I mean, this has brought it all back home for me just recently. I'm blessed to have a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old in my life. And when they're hungry, they could give two rips if it's time to eat yet, or if the food they're being offered is good or bad, right? They're hungry. And how many women do you know that they're starving? Like, they're starving because you can hear their gut working, right? You can hear the grumble. And so they drink a little water. Oh, I just don't want to eat yet. Or they chew a piece of gum.
Or smoke a cigarette.
Right. What? Yes, I did that too for a long, long time.
Me too.
What is this? I mean, like, our bodies are made to be just like that 1-year-old or that 2-year-old. They tell us when it's time. Either you're tired or your stomach's growling or you can't think or whatever the case may be, right? But we don't
Well,
want to
what is
believe
the
our
solution?
bodies. What's the solution? Us, we're the solution. Dang it.
We are the solution, but I mean, what we teach our clients is that you have to get reacquainted with your body and learn to listen to its signals and understand those things that are happening to you for a reason. Are you getting cranky? Are you getting tired? Are you getting dizzy? I mean, I have known, women who have fainted because they're so hungry. And, if that's not a sign that you need to take better care of your body and nourish your body and give it fuel, like, My love letter to these women listening to our show today is do your best. We invite you to kind of relearn what your body is trying to tell you. And all those things that you've heard are 99% lies. You know,
Great.
if you want to drink a glass of water before you eat something because you think it's going to fill you up, or you don't drink, my favorite lie was you can't drink any liquids for 45 minutes after you've eaten. I just, it makes me laugh just talking about it. But, you know, my body doesn't work that way. It just doesn't.
I know
And
people, I don't mean to interrupt, but
no,
I
please.
know women who were taught by someone to take a bite, chew it 20 times, then have a sip of water, and then take a bite and chew it 20 times and have a sip of water. What I've learned through my nutrition courses is you shouldn't drink a lot of water while you're eating because it totally dilutes the acid. Our bodies are meant to, like your gut, when you put food in your mouth, your gut says, woo, food coming, and splashes a bunch of acid in there. So now you're going to drink 20 ounces of water. And then how many people do you know that are constipated or have GERD or have heartburn? Because there's nothing in your body left to burn the fuel that you're doing. So it just sits in there and sloshes and makes a mess. Like, forget the lies, forget what everybody told you, and just honor what your body's telling you, right?
And that is tough to do in the beginning. I've been there, you've been there. It is hard. It is challenging. And your initial response is to go back to what you know. Listen, we all struggle with change. I get that. But I think that once you find your homeostasis and you find what works best for your body, which means taking your lifestyle into consideration, taking your exercise level into consideration. You know, there's so many things that you have to relearn. And all I'm asking for you, our listener, is to be open to that task because once you do figure it out, you don't have to think about it again.
Great.
You really don't. Okay. Did you want to say anything else on this topic? Because I have another question
No,
for you.
go ahead.
Okay. So, why is it so important for us? And we're going to talk about it probably on more episodes, but why is it so important for our listeners to eat whole foods
Versus half foods? I'm kidding.
versus ultra processed foods?
I'm just teasing. I was thinking about that this morning. I got up and I knew we were talking about food today, and I don't like talking about good food or bad food, and I don't like talking about whatever. But I was really thinking there's a huge. I believe that a person should have the right to eat any single thing they want at a given moment of time. So, like, if somebody offered me an Airhead, now mind you, I hate Airheads. But if I liked them and someone offered me one, I could have one no matter what I'm doing in my lifetime. But I can't live off of them, right? Because they don't nourish me. So, all of these foods that people consider to be easy and convenient and lifesavers, because oh, I can microwave them in the bag, right? And have them on the table in 2 minutes. They're doing things to us. I mean, in our generation, you and I, the microwave came into existence. And I don't believe that the microwave is like killing anyone. But I believe that, I mean, like it as itself. But all of a sudden now we've created all these foods. Like, were we supposed to be microwaving plastic? Were we supposed to be putting preservatives into things with meat so that they can sit in the cupboard for 2 years, all the things. And so whole foods, real foods, things that have one ingredient in them, or maybe a couple if we're talking about dairy or a whole grain product, fine, good. But I really like what I live by in my life is that if something has more than five ingredients in it, it doesn't come into my house because I don't want to eat it.
But you also have been in this industry for decades. There are people out in the world, and we know this still in 2025. I just organized for this woman, and her pantry was 100% ultra processed foods. 100%. And it's not a judgment, it's a fact. What I'm trying to say is that there are many people who still live this way, and it can say organic or diet or fat-free all over the package if it wants. But like you said, if you turn that thing over and it's got a whole host of ingredients, and the first one is what? Most of the time it's water.
Yeah, or salt, or
Or so, yeah. So,
sugar, or ultra hydrated.
and I mean, being a personal trainer, I have literally heard it all. I don't like cooking. I don't want to learn how to cook. I don't want to. And so that is something that you are going to have to accept. And I mean you, that person, that individual, that you're sticking to that story and you are never going to get any better. And I'm sorry if that comes across harsh, but I lived my first 2 decades on microwave food. So if I can make that transition and now I eat 98%, I cook at home.
Yeah, I do.
And, you know, do I love to go out to dinner? I absolutely do. But because I eat at home most of the time, when I do eat out, I don't feel great for a day or two. And because it's so high in sodium and so heavy, and just I really don't know what the ingredients are that's going in things. So
So
I guess,
before you go further, I want
yes.
to bring up, my husband and I joke that we don't go out to eat as often because it's usually better when we're at home. So, I mean, like, not better for me, but better tasting, because we've gotten to this point where we don't like feeling crummy when we go to a restaurant. But I totally lost it. Oh, the biggest complaint that I had, I knew I had to come back to this. So I had all these people. It was always, I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. And so for 1 week, I timed every preparation that I did. And I worked hard to prove that it could be quick. Now, I'm a person who, when I come home from the grocery store, I cut up all my vegetables, because if I don't cut them up, I'm gonna find them, and they're gonna be like a bag of soup in the bottom of my crisper the next day, or the next week, I mean. So I always have like cut up peppers and cut up onions and all the vegetables and stuff already to go. And when I cook meat, I cook meat. I always cook extra. I cook for tomorrow, right? So I don't ever do 2 chicken breasts. I usually do 4 to 6. Anyway, so like, I get up in the morning, I have eggs and fruit almost every morning. Sometimes a piece of toast if I'm hungry, but like, 2 eggs over easy takes literally 2 minutes. Give me an extra minute because I got to heat up the pan, right? I mean, that's 2 minutes. And if you've got stuff prepped, snacks are easy. I grab some vegetables and some cottage cheese. Oh, 2 minutes. Lunchtime, I'm gonna take out the salad that I've prepped, and I'm gonna dump a can of tuna on top of it. Ooh, 2 minutes. I mean, like, I literally can invest under 15 minutes in a day cooking my food, preparing whole food, and I eat 5 times a day. I mean, it gives me more time to enjoy the meal because I can do it efficiently. But don't tell me you don't have time. Sorry. Okay.
No,
Go
I know.
for it, but don't
I
tell me you
think the
don't have time.
level of frustration we're feeling is just because we've been dealing with this for over 20 years. I get it. But I am trying to be empathetic to you who are listening to us for the first time. I just want to tell you that whatever you choose is great and it's your choice. But there are always solutions, you know, for your busy schedule, for your budget, for your you know, work week schedule, for meal prep. I mean, Kim comes from that place and that's great. I hate meal prep. I think I would rather pull out teeth. So, but that doesn't mean that I don't like convenience. So I definitely do buy things. Like I bought a bag from Publix today that's already like your little coin carrots. So I can just throw those on my salad. You know, so I do make my life easier. But from going from never cooking and just reheating or pushing, you know, pre whatever on the microwave to creating a whole meal now, and That for me is such a joy that I didn't know I was missing out on. So that's what I kind of want to say to our listeners. You don't know unless you try. And I did not learn how to cook, you guys, until I was 37 years old. I never handled a piece of chicken, raw chicken, until I was 37 years old. So
That's
it's
crazy.
not too late.
No, it's not too late. And I'm really not, I mean, like if you were working with me and I'm coaching you, I'm not that person who walks into your house with a garbage bag and like empties it. Right? Because everything has to come in stages. I'm just here to tell you that like when I had little kids at home, there were times when I'd crack open a can of SpaghettiOs because that's all I had going. I'm not passing judgment on anyone. But if you want to make changes, if you've reached that point in life where you want to make a change, you want to eat better, you want to move more, you want to whatever, you just got to take the first step. And the first step is going to involve some discomfort and some changing old habits. And it means like maybe the SpaghettiOs are the treat on Friday for the kiddos. Or, I mean, like make one meal, start with one meal. And then maybe perfect a day part. Maybe it's easiest for you to home cook breakfast. But lunch still needs to be like a good old bologna sandwich and dinner needs to be whatever. Fine. Because
A
as you
cereal.
develop your skills, then you're gonna bridge into the next meal or the next meal. Or once in a while you're gonna cook dinner from scratch or bake a birthday cake from scratch, right? Because there's nothing wrong with any of that. And if I came across as black or white, is not who I am. There's still, you're gonna find some crackers. You're gonna find things in my house that are processed. It's just if I can do it myself, gosh, I try to do it myself. So.
I hear that. And I do like what you said, your advice is like master one recipe because I did that. I mastered a chicken recipe and I did it over and over again until I didn't have to think about it. The only thing I had to think about was going to get chicken thighs at Whole Foods back when I lived in New York City. And so I do love that advice. Don't overwhelm yourself trying to learn how to become a Michelin star chef if you've never touched raw chicken. Bake, learn how to bake chicken, learn how to bake it in the oven. And the oven, what I've learned in my cooking is that when you bake things in the oven does all the hard work for you, right? So sitting over the, I probably still don't really ha know how to saute things properly when like meat and stuff. I probably still don't because I have chosen to more master like baking, you know? So.
I'm the queen of crock pot, sweetheart. I love the fact that I can dump it in and turn it on,
Right?
but it's still home cooking. It's still, I choose what goes in. So yeah. And don't, the other bit of advice that goes right into that when, and because I love that, master one thing. Don't pick beef
Beef
bourguignon.
Wellington.
Right. Don't pick something that like somebody had to work a long time to master. Pick, baking really great chicken so that you can count on it. Pick stir fry or I mean like any number of things, but pick something that's easy and that's affordable because if you botch it up once or twice, then you're not like, oh, I just wasted all this money and all this time. Do something simple and become really good at it.
I think that is sound advice for people who may want to transition into cooking but aren't really confident yet. And I think that I'm just going to tell you a quick story. So I have always wanted to have a cast iron pan, right? And I found this recipe for chicken thighs that had some sauce on it. And I just sometimes I get really overzealous and I don't pay attention to the details. And I didn't really know that cast iron gets friggin' hot. And I don't have a gas stove here anymore. So my burners are very temperamental. Long story short, I was like, I'm going to try this new recipe in a cast iron pan. The middle of summer, the first year we moved here. And the next thing I know, my whole stove is smoking. The friggin' fire alarm's going off. And I live in a loft. So if you can see way up there is the fire alarm, there's no getting to it. Okay. So the fire alarm's going off. My apartment's filling with smoke. But I think that I had enough confidence to know that I just messed up. I did not have to throw in the towel and say, I don't know how to cook. I'm no good at this. It's a funny story now. And just, I'm telling our listeners this because you are going to set your apartment on fire almost when you're learning to cook, and that's okay. You get to open a window, start the fan, take it off the burner, whatever needs to be done. But the next time you're going to pay attention to the recipe and you're going to do it perfectly.
Learn from your mistakes, right?
Exactly. Exactly. All right, babe, I have one more question for you that I really think is important for our listeners. So, I wanted to know what would you tell? Actually, I lied to you. I have two questions. I wanted to know when you kind of switched gears and you were like, okay, I'm not going to diet anymore. I'm not going to restrict. Do you feel like you got a little rebellious there for a short period of time and just like ate everything under the sun just because you restricted for so long?
For sure. For sure. And I can go one further. It wasn't just me. When I ran the gym and we did this challenge thing, I would have people and I learned from my own challenges. If I starved myself, if I didn't ever have any treats or if I didn't celebrate special moments and stuff during that window, then once I opened the door, they were gonna blast open and I was gonna go crazy. And so I tried to tell my clients, dude, I mean, like this one guy, I loved him. He and his wife joined the program together, and their son was on a baseball team. And he came in and he was so proud of himself because everybody went out for ice cream and he was the only one who didn't. You know, he stood strong. And I was like, I hate to do this to you, but next time I want you to eat the ice cream. Because the thing is sometimes we need to lose weight, right? I mean, like generally there are people who are unhealthy at a certain weight and they need to lose weight. So they're going to exercise and they're going to make different choices than they have for a long time, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with changing different things, just like we talked about whole foods versus what we've been doing. But you still have to enjoy your life. You still have to have the birthday cake. You still have to, I mean, like some people don't drink at all, but sometimes, I mean, if you're not drinking, sometimes you want to go to a nice dinner and have a glass of wine. You can do those things when you're trying to make changes in your health. You can do those things and you don't have to earn them. You did a really great job of talking about that, you know, in episode two, when we talked about movement. You don't have to earn, you don't have to exercise to earn anything, right? You should exercise because it's good for your body and because it feels good. But yes, every time in the past, and I don't do it anymore, but in the past when I'd detox or when I'd, you know, to eliminate a whole food group. I'm telling you what, it's just like I don't have cravings, generally speaking.
Yeah,
But
me neither.
if I gave up sugar entirely, like I know people who give up fruit, everything. I'm telling you what, if I give up sugar, I can walk by the cupboard and I hear M&M's going, Kimmy, I don't even like M&M's, right? But let me tell you, if I say no, and I think people are just like that. If somebody tells me I can't have it, I want it.
Of course.
Probably more than you wanted to know. But anyway.
No, I love it because I think binging is such a fear of women. They're like, oh, if I smell that piece of cake baking, I'm gonna eat the whole thing. And it's like, are you? You're not. You just have told yourself, you've taught yourself to be afraid of the thing, the one food that you think is going to make you bigger. And I know that like the back of my hand. But I find it interesting that, you know, when I did stop binging, I mean, stop restricting, excuse me, I stopped binging. And I thought that was a very interesting side effect to diet, ditching diet culture. All right, let me ask you this final question and then we will say adios.
Okay.
Okay. What would you like to tell the unloved version of you about food?
The unloved version of me. There is no bad food. That's what I'd tell her. Yeah, I would just, there is no bad food. And I need to back it up with everything we've talked about today. There's foods that aren't good for, but no, there are foods that don't benefit my body the way I want my body to feel. Well, those ultra processed foods. Gosh, I choked down a lot of really lame protein shakes and bars and crap just in the name of
Diet.
diet. And when I would have served myself better, just always eating what I was hungry for, eating what my body needed. You know, I mean, sometimes we need something sweet, right? Grab an apple, right? Put peanut butter on it. I don't know.
Or dip it in chocolate. Hi.
Yeah, I mean, like there's no, I would have just told myself to enjoy the meals and enjoy that time.
Yeah.
Eating should be pleasurable. And yeah, that's what I would have told her. That's what I tell
I love
myself
that.
today. I love mealtime. I love we bought an extra big table so that we can all gather together, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing better than a good meal with people you love.
Agreed. Well, I think that we had a really powerful conversation today, and I hope you, our listeners, enjoyed it and understand that we are always going to come from a place of understanding because we both have been there for decades and decades. And to feel food freedom is something that I have never experienced in my 4+ decades before this, and I really want that for all women. I'm not just being cheesy, I'm being dead serious. I want every single woman to know what it feels like to be free of diet culture and free of these restrictions that we have been taught to put on ourselves, but we do keep those lies by continuing to tell the same story, by continuing to go on the next diet or to not love our bodies enough to say no more.
I agree 100%. Amen to that. All right. We will be back again soon. You can count on us every single Friday. And who knows what we're going to talk about next time? We know. But if there's something that you'd like to know what we think about, you know, shoot us a
Or
message.
if there's a topic that you would love to hear us chat about, please, please, please drop it in the show notes. We answer every question and we are open to hearing what you guys have to say.
Absolutely. All right, friend. Thanks. I will see you next time. Bye.